Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
As the Commanders built a foundation for success on the field, they were thinking about their future. You should do the same with yours. The law firm Condori & Murat will help. They're going to get you to update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30, getting you ready for what should be an entertaining night of sport. And right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, we're getting you ready for championship weekend football with Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com. Bill, you might imagine here in the nation's capital, we want to start with the NFC title game and a team that I'm sure you picked to be here, the Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you make of this wild ride?
Guys, before the year, I had the Commanders as one of the most likely teams in the league to improve. And to me, that meant like 7 wins. So slightly past what I expected. But you have to give all the credit in the world to the big three here. Adam Peters, so many useful free agent signings, really rebuilt this roster so quickly. Dan Quinn has just evolved so much as a coach. From what we saw in Atlanta, he has been so good this year. And then, of course, there's the man himself, Jaden Daniels, who looks like a 15-year pro every time he steps on the field. So been really fun to watch this team all season. And, you know, I don't think anybody anticipated them getting here, but doesn't mean that they're not going to keep going any further.
Yeah, I think those 7 wins you're referring to, Bill, were just since December 1st, as they've done in a row, just like we all thought. So Grant and I have debated this a little bit, actually. We'd love to get your opinion. I think if you replace Jaden Daniels, for the sake of argument, with your league average quarterback, whatever you want to call him, the 17th best guy in a given week, I think this is a 6.5-7-win roster, which is kind of where their over-under was. Doesn't mean they're incompetent, can't get out of their own way, but it means that if you play 17 weeks, you're losing a lot more than you're winning. How would you grade the roster non-Jaden Daniels division?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a little more optimistic. I think probably, if I said 8 wins, would that be crazy to say about this team? I mean, not like anybody had this group heading into the season as a transcendent bunch. But what I would say is this. I think it's not outside of Terry McLaurin, who I think is excellent, and Sam Cosmi, who was great for most of the year before he unfortunately suffered that ACL tear. But in terms of the playmakers, it's not that they're necessarily superstars, but I do think Cliff Kingsbury does get the most out of his individual players here. I think back to that screen for a touchdown against the Lions where you have Olamide Zaccheaus and Diami Brown blocking. Two guys who are not superstar players. Most teams would not have them as starting wide receivers, but they are good blockers. They are smart. They are effective. They can make a big play if they get open, if they're schemed open. And they were the exact thing you needed on that play for Terry McLaurin, the true star in that playmaking group, to go open for a long play. So bringing it back to Daniels, I mean, just everything he does is so smooth and so decisive. And I think, it's not like this is an incredibly complex and brilliant scheme. I think it's a good scheme. It's not like the players are superstars, so they're good players. But I do think he gets the max out of everything here because he's so just so excellent in terms of where he's placing the football, his decision making, and I think he opens up some things in the playbook that wouldn't be there for other quarterbacks because of his ability as a runner and as a scrambler.
Yeah, I want to get back to Daniels with you, Bill, because I thought your story today on him potentially having the best rookie season ever was really good. But aside from Daniels for a moment, who do you think is like the star number two here in terms of who had the best year at what they did? Because Quinn is a head coach of the year candidate, built a great staff. Adam Peters as an executive hit home run after home run in free agency and the draft. Mm-hmm. But then I would throw Kingsbury into the conversation, who I think gets slept on for what he's done for Daniels in the offense quite a bit. Like, who would you say is kind of behind Daniels in the what a year that guy had ratings?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we could go, like I said, Sam Cosby could be in that mix. I think we could have Frankie Louvu in the mix, who to me has been such a valuable player for them, not just as a linebacker, but as a pass rusher. You know, even guys down on the roster, like a I'm not saying him, but like a Noah Igbinoghene. Like that was a guy who was bouncing around the league and has been a solid slot corner for them all season. But I do think I would say Cliff, because what you've seen this year has been an offense that really takes a lot of the stuff that was successful for them in Arizona and then has added some concepts to it that really make this offense valuable. And I think, you know, with Arizona, there was that thing, right? There was the cliff, the offense fell off at the second half of the year. And there was a bit of a struggle when Jaden Daniels was hurt or was playing through an injury. But we saw last few games, they've been just as good an offense as they were early in the season. This has not been a one-trick pony. I think they've been so good about, you know, creating little spacing opportunities, creating lanes for their running backs schematically. I think the concepts they play build off of one another in a good way. I think they are willing to go back to stuff, which is a hard thing. Sometimes, you know, offensive coordinators just want to run all the stuff they have in the playbook. And I think for Cliff, he's been very good about, okay, if we have a concept that works, we're going to, you know, spam it until someone stops us, or we're going to have something built off of it while you're trying to stop it. So I think Cliff has really done an excellent job this year. So I'd be happy putting Cliff number two in that.
Bill Barnwell with us here on Grant and Danny. So I was one of the people that was screaming loud and kind of pointing. You know that Jordan meme where he's looking at, who was it, J.R. Mm-hmm. Smith or whatever? I was doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, look what happened in Arizona. And what sort of happened there is kind of happening here in the middle of that stretch that you're talking about. The best example I could come up with is Terry McLaurin just goes on the left and he got one target in a kind of brutal loss against Philadelphia, right? I'm going, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need to prove a point here. I want this to change. And I feel like mm-hmm. the change happened, which is why idiots like me are shouting, but now I'm getting dunked on where they're going, see, the cliff wasn't real. And I'm going, no, it was real, but he did something about it this time. Not a great question, Bill, but just kind of give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly I think there are two things can be true, right? Like, yes, there are some things about that offense in Arizona or in the past that might have been stale, that might have been too simplistic. I think you look back in Arizona, well, there was 1 year Kyler was injured in the second half, 1 year where DeAndre Hopkins was awesome in the first half. He played two games in the second half. I think the injuries are some of it. But I do think this is not the most complex scheme in the league. It's very RPO heavy. It's quarterback run game is intensive. And he wasn't running as much, and I think that was part of it as well and impacted things. But I do think there has been a growth over the course of the season. I think there has been an element of, you know, taking the concepts Cliff wants to run, going back to the air raid days, going back to his college days, and having more ways to get to them, or using more more modern concepts, like you said, you know, moving McLaurin around a bit, using motion more often, you know, using stacks in ways that maybe they were not as aggressive in Arizona. And I think if you combine those two things, a lot of the stuff Cliff runs is stuff that everyone in the league runs and runs really well because they're great concepts. So, you add Jaden Daniels to that, and I think, again, his decisiveness, his ability to, you know, make the right decision when he's juggling multiple concepts in a play. I was pretty optimistic about the offense continuing to be good. I didn't have them scoring 45 in Detroit good, but certainly it feels like they've gotten to a place where they feel like this is going to be the offense moving forward as opposed to kind of it just being a first-half fluke.
All right, let's get to Daniels then in the piece you wrote today. Was this, as you looked into it, the best rookie season ever?
Not yet. There are I mean, he's not going to be in the MVP discussion. Not, I think you make a case he should be, you know, in the 3-4-5 range. But clearly, it's going to be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, and I think that's fair to say. I think they were better than Jaden Daniels this year. But, I mean, Jim Brown won MVP. Earl Campbell was almost won MVP. He was second by a narrow margin. I think you had to put those guys ahead of him. I think you would probably say Dan Marino when he was second in the MVP balloting that first season in Miami. I know he didn't play the full year, but he was just so transcendent as a player, according to reports at the time. So I put him ahead of Jaden Daniels, but not many other guys. Maybe Lawrence Taylor. You know, maybe they're throwing Javon Kurse, who was so good for Tennessee that first season. But I think he's in the 5-6-7 range. And that's, by the way, if he becomes the first quarterback as a rookie in NFL history to lead his team to a Super Bowl, that conversation changes. To me, this is a right now, even if they lose this week, he's in the 5-7 range. And if they win, he's going up even higher.
Yeah, and we're talking about when you mentioned those names. I mean, those are iconic, greatest of all time at their position, yep. You know, Hall of Famer type names. What's impressed you most about Daniels?
His poise. I don't think it's a secret here for me to say, you know, that his poise is calmness. But with rookies, what you see happen so often is as they adjust to the speed of the game, they're indecisive. You know, you'll see a guy come open and you'll say, oh, I'm going to throw the football. And then you'll see the window close when you don't throw the football. You kind of get stuck between deciding whether you want to throw it or not. You have to wait for something to be wide open before you throw it. You don't necessarily throw with anticipation. You take too many sacks. You end up getting, getting hit more often. And even that happens to great quarterbacks. It takes time to develop. Even someone like Bryce Young is a good example. Like, I think he got much better after the benching because he got used to the speed of the game and, you know, some of the bad habits he had kind of got ironed out by taking some time away. But that's not happened with Jaden Daniels. He is so decisive with the football. I mean, you go back to that. To me, the best pass of the year, even better than the Hail Mary, was the touchdown pass to McLaurin against the Bengals, against the big blitz, where that's a free rusher. That's a situation where most rookies are going to panic. They're going to make an awkward throw. They're going to try and throw something safe to get rid of the football. Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin went for the home run and hit it in a big situation, helped them win that game. That poise to me and that ability to make decisive throws and read stuff quickly and make smart decisions quickly. More than one thing, but to me, I think that combination is what makes Jaden Daniels so special.
Bill, what about the matchup this weekend? Philly's defense is good. I mean, depends on who you ask. If they're great, really good. I just know this, they're in the way, and that's a formidable opponent there. I know what happened, you know, just over a month ago, but, you know, it's Jaden Daniels or bust pretty much at this time. How do you see this one going, and, you know, how can Philadelphia disrupt them, and where are kind of the weak points? What do you think?
Yeah, so on the offensive side of the ball for the Commanders, obviously it's about that defensive front. You know, if you can slow down Jalen Carter, if you can slow down that front four, you have a shot. To me, I think the way you do that is tempo. To me, this is a no-huddle game for the Commanders, same way the Patriots used no huddle against the Eagles and their great front in the Super Bowl a few years ago. I know they lost, but Tom Brady threw for over 500 yards in that game. So the offense was not the problem in that game. I think you want to tire out that team. You want to keep them on the field. Don't let them sub and force Vic Fangio to have some sort of general calls that he's going to make, some simple calls, and then try to take advantage of those, prevent him from getting those kind of exotic looks out there that he loves to show. So play that way on offense. Then on defense, it's got to be turnovers. I mean, I don't think they can stop Saquon Barkley one-on-one. He's been so good, even when teams are selling out to stop him. There's a couple ways you can do it. You can load up the box and slow him down, you know, get a couple 0-1-2-yard gains. But if he breaks through that first line of defense, he's going for 70 yards and a touchdown. So I wonder if it's just about slowing him down, you know, trying to limit him to 5 yards a carry but not give up any of the bigger plays, and then hoping you get a couple turnovers. I mean, we've seen Saquon Barkley fumble this year. Jalen Hurts certainly has given up the ball a bit this year. You can't count on 5 turnovers the way he did against the Lions, but that's the formula. Lions move the ball, the Commanders come up with a few big plays, and that kind of swung the game. So I think if you can force a couple of turnovers from the Eagles, I think you got a real shot.
Speaking of counting on things, I mean, can the Eagles count on Jalen Hurts to move the ball through the air? They've been so bad throwing the football in these playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say this.
Do you think he's healthy enough to be good enough to win them the game if he needs to?
Okay, so go back to the first half of last week's game. I think he was. He ran in a 40-plus yard touchdown. He looked good there. They were comfortable getting him involved in the quarterback run game. And he hit A.J. Brown for what should have been either a touchdown or a long completion. A.J. Brown dropped it. So if you put those plays in there, I think Jalen Hurts was healthy. But now he suffered the knee injury later in that game.
Exactly.
He was not 100%. Clearly, he was not comfortable running the football. They only used the tush push for that one fourth down play that got canceled out by a false start. They wanted to avoid it very clearly, and he was not consistent throwing the football, could not move very well. Now, he's practicing in full this week, so the hope for Eagles fans is that he's going to be 100%. But even if he goes into the game at relatively healthy, we've seen him leave games with injuries this year. We've seen him get banged up this year and banged up in years past this point of the season. So to me, the question is not only how is he entering into the game, but does he get hurt as the game goes along? I think a healthy Jalen Hurts can move the football, but we don't know how healthy Jalen Hurts really is.
Is this a sell out on the run and make Jalen Hurts prove it type defense for you for Washington this week?
I think it has to be, right? I mean, you don't want to play one-on-one man coverage against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. That's a nightmare for a lot of teams, but I think you have to prove it to you, right? Like, you can't go in there and say, okay, we're going to make Saquon Barkley beat us. Saquon Barkley is beating people when they are committing to stopping Saquon Barkley. I think the price of admission is, can we hold Saquon Barkley to 120 yards in this game? If you can, I think you have a real shot, but I would ask Jalen Hurts, okay, you know, prove it to me. Hit A.J. Brown for a 60-yard touchdown. Hit Devontae Smith for a 40-yard completion. Hit steady gains in the passing game, and don't take sacks. Don't take penalties. Don't turn the ball over. That's a tough order for Jalen Hurts in this offense right now. So I would definitely, this would be about stopping Saquon and making someone else beat me.
It's funny, and Bill Barnwell of ESPN is with us. Almost every guest we've had on, I'm pretty sure, has picked the Chiefs to beat the Bills this week. You wouldn't think it's a pick'em game. You know, it's a 1.5 point spread for Kansas City at home, which actually means on a neutral site, odds makers would favor the Bills, but everyone's just rolling with Kansas City, and it feels like it's just, how can you bet against them in the playoffs? Where do you come down on it?
I mean, I think people don't want to look stupid. And I'll tell you what, 5 years ago, or however long ago it was, I picked the Niners to beat the Chiefs, and I felt really smart for three quarters. I thought the pass rush was going to beat up Patrick Mahomes. And then in the fourth quarter, I felt like an idiot because Patrick Mahomes proved me wrong. And I had spent that entire quarter rooting for Patrick Mahomes not to be Patrick Mahomes. And that was the last time I was going to make that mistake. So I have picked the Chiefs every year since. And I think it's just the default. I mean, unless you see the Bills do it, unless you see the Ravens do it in the postseason, we've seen the Bengals do it. And I think people are more comfortable picking the Bengals to beat the Chiefs in a postseason game. But until we see the Bills do it, I think you have to pick the Chiefs. So I am also going with the Chiefs.
Bill, this is great, man. It's a treat. Really, really fun to have you on. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy the game this weekend, guys.
You got it. Bill Barnwell of ESPN with us on Grant and Danny. While we were talking to him, this is a pretty wild developing story in Jacksonville. So the Jags, as many of you know, had their general manager, Trent Baalke, do a press conference with owner Shad Khan at the beginning of the offseason where they decided to fire Doug Peterson and keep GM Baalke. So he was running their coaching search. Well, presumably, that was a sticking point for Ben Johnson and some of the other coaches they've talked to, like Liam Cohen, who did not want to go there to work with Trent Baalke. Last night, after we found out that Liam Cohen was going back to Tampa Bay, he agreed to a new contract where he'd be the highest paid offensive coordinator in football to stay in Tampa. Second coach to take a job the Jags had wanted that didn't want the job from them, they decided to fire Trent Baalke. So Baalke was out.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter just reported about 30 minutes ago that Liam Cohen's back in Jacksonville today.
Can you believe it?
Interviewing with the Jaguars. Now, that's not the craziest part of this story. That in and of itself is nuts because he turned them down. He went back to Tampa, flew back, said he was going to take the deal, has a new deal with the Bucs that he hasn't signed yet. Here's the craziest part of the story. Schefter just said that Liam Cohen has not talked to the Bucs all day, and that they have reached out to him for hours without hearing back from him.
Oh, man.
So he agreed to go back to Tampa, according to the reporting. They got a contract done. They went over the terms. They agreed on money. He is back. He's the offensive coordinator. Then the Jaguars fired the general manager, called him back and said, okay, Baalke's not here anymore. He gets back on a plane and goes back to Jacksonville today, where he's been interviewing and negotiating with them in a second interview now for hours, and the Bucs can't get a hold of the guy.
Wild.
What a story. Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucs in Tampa, says, Liam Cohen had not spoken to the Bucs since yesterday afternoon. They tried to reach him and have been unable to Instead of signing his contract, which was a formality, he's secretly.
It's not a formality after all, I suppose.
He secretly traveled to Jacksonville to meet with Jags owner Shad Khan. I mean, football is just a great TV show. You just can't do programming better than the National Football.
Isn't it incredible?
What an episode this is.
So there's two things afoot here. One, the secrecy. We think we got Liam Cohen, but we don't got him. It's like that recruiting commit who put the hat on and then like 2 days later announces he's decommitted to recommit somewhere else because somebody else offered something. Who knows?
They found out from Shefty that he's talking with Shad Khan in Jacksonville again when they're like, why won't this guy pick up? He's supposed to be here to sign his deal any minute.
He's sitting down for a steak right now with Shad Khan and company. You guys are SOL. Like, that's what's happening. The biggest part, though, is it removed any shred of a doubt. You could maybe, hey, this is up to interpretation, or you guys are putting two and two together, and this isn't necessarily it. It removed every possible interpretation other than the correct one, which is nobody likes Balky. None. That is the least popular guy in the NFL right now, or close to it, in terms of front offices. He was a fence, a wall, preventing hot offensive minds from even coming down there and considering them. And so they said, all right, we're going to get rid of this guy. And they're like, hey, we removed the guy that you hate. Will you consider it now? And he's like, yes. Talking about Cohen.
I mean, this is Josh McDaniels taking the Colts job and then untaking the Colts job. Levels of screwing a team over, though. Like, even Ben Johnson, who told the owners of the Commanders he didn't want their job while they were flying out to interview him, which was completely inappropriate and botched in every way, and became, you know, made him to some extent a villain.
Yeah.
Just look at the last week and everyone taking victory laps over, you know, the basketball guys getting their win over Ben Johnson or whatever. This is worse than that, because this is your actual employer. These are guys I'm sure you're texting with yesterday going, I'm coming back. You and Baker Mayfield are toasting over coming back. I got your new contract. And you're like, actually, wait, Balky's out? All right, I'll come back and talk to you again. But then you just don't answer your phone.
Wild.
They're sitting there waiting with the picture on the screen behind him to put out on social media. He's back, you know? And they're ready to have him sit down and sign today.
And be the richest OC in the game.
Yep. So crazy. The NFL is the best.
It's so good. I mean, that is so good.
Why didn't we have Hard Knocks of that? That would have been fun.
The end of season Hard Knocks is what we call it, I guess.
Yeah. We need another version.
Whatever you call it.
Wild coaching carousel Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for your Caps power play.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Caps have won 5 straight. They've got points in 11 in a row. They're coming off of a win over the Edmonton Oilers to kick off a 5-game road trip tonight. They are in the Pacific Northwest, out in Seattle to take on the Kraken. A 10 o'clock start time tonight, local time. This is very late night Capitals. 2nd of 5 on the road, looking for a 6th consecutive win. It hadn't really been goaltending. If you look at it recently, 3 goals in their win against the Ducks, just 1 against the Senators. 3 against the Oilers. They did explode for 4 against the Penguins. They've done a very good job defensively and in net, mostly with Logan Thompson.
Yeah, what's special about this group is it's not they're winning one way. They had their offensive explosion earlier this season. That has slowed down significantly, but they're able to win these tight games now as well. It's just a remark of a really good program that however you'd like to get beat tonight, you're going to. The Caps team faces a Seattle roster that's just fine, to be honest with you. I think they got 45 points, dozens shy of where Washington is at this stage. So this is a nice ability, even on the road, to pick up a couple of points, hopefully.
We're going to keep it live and local on the Fan tonight with Overtime. Our buddy Toby Altizer stops by next. So Tobvertime set to come your way. Tomorrow, we are out and about for a Friday field trip. Maryland, we're coming your way. Don't make us look like geese for spending such a big show in the state of Maryland. We trust you.
Come through.
We got faith in you to throw a hell of a party. We are going to be there in Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
That's right.
That's right.
Bethesda, Maryland. Like downtown, legitimate. About as Bethesda gets.
It's like the heart of Bethesda.
If I'm being honest.
From Bethesda!
Caddies on Cordell. Grant, Danny, you, your buddies, rock your burgundy and gold for the celebration. That's 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. We got Trey Wingo at 3:30 on the program. We're giving away Caps tickets at 4.
That'll be a hoot and a holler. I love it, buddy.
Until we meet again. Enjoy your evenings. Listen to Tobvertime next. Thank you to Darius, Ryan, and Ben behind the scenes, as always.
From Bethesda!
Thank you for coming.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.